This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I have Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Happy WrestleMania Saturday. I know y'all excited for this weekend. Welcome to another episode of the Ringer Wrestling Show live here at WWE World. I almost called it WrestleMania World. WWE World here, sponsored by Fanatics. My name is Kaz, David Shoemaker, Stat Guy Greg.
Yo.
You have to forgive me. I was yelling last night during the WWE Hall of Fame, SmackDown, lots of craziness.
Listen, it's WrestleMania week. The festivities started on Thursday, so we're lucky to have functioning voices right now.
Like, for sure.
We need herbal tea right now.
I pulled a rookie move. I screamed too much yesterday. Now I'm not sure if I have a voice for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So it's all good. But speaking of rookie moves, we have someone who is enjoying their first WrestleMania week experience joining us tonight, today, on the live version of the Ringer Wrestling Show Live. She is a former WWE NXT Women's Tag Team Champion, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And she's one of the fastest rising stars and the future of the women's division on WWE Raw. Make some Hey, y'all can stick around. Come on in. Come on in. Sit down.
There's plenty of room.
Get comfortable. Guys, make some noise for our guest today, Zoe Stark.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Zoe, first off, I got to say, the vest is fire. I didn't realize.
Thank you.
I didn't realize it was custom. I just saw the color scheme.
Custom made, brand new.
I just thought it was Raw's War. I was like, Stark is War. All right, I like
Stark
that.
Stark is War. We're changing like it. From here on out.
Now, we need that in the shop. We need that in the shop.
Facts. Yeah. Facts. Zoe, you've had an incredible first year, I would say, in the main roster, right? After NXT, you know, the revamp of the entire brand, you're one of the faces of the women's division in NXT, heading into the main roster. And if you talk to anybody who's said anything about women's wrestling, whether they're a talent, whether they're a writer, whether it's somebody that's following it, everybody said, that person right there has the goods. And they always talk about you, whether it's Trish, whether it's Becky, whether it's the NXT roster. There is so much potential that you have. When you come into the main roster with such high praise from some of the best that's ever done that, what does that do for your confidence coming into a brand new situation after dominating in NXT?
Well, obviously for the confidence, like, I'm going in with high confidence, but you also, in the back of your head, you're kind of wondering, like, man, I got to really make sure I step up and make them right at that point. And I feel like I've been doing that so far, but the confidence is much better as far as walking in, because now you know you have backup. You know, Trish or Becky, they've all backed me up, and I appreciate them and love them for that. So,
What is the difference between hearing your trainers say you're doing great when you're coming up through the performance center and then actually getting that positive reinforcement from people like Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus? Is it a different, a totally different level of compliment?
Well, yeah, because your coaches, sometimes you just feel like, oh, you're being nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate you saying that, but come on, give me the honest truth. But when you hear Becky or Trish or Charlotte or any of these girls say those nice positive reinforcement things, you're like, oh, okay, I do have something. I do have more of the it factor and being able to do all that.
What has that transition been like from NXT to the main roster? Is there like a palpable difference in the feel of the locker room, or is it extra pressure being here?
It's definitely a lot more pressure. NXT, it's AAA baseball, you know, at that point. Like, you're getting ready for the big stage of MLB and everything else, right? So that's what NXT is for the main roster. So you're just getting ready, and then when you actually go up, it's a whole different world. It's a different ball game at that point. So you got to be more dialed in, more focused, and you really got to try things because your coaches aren't there anymore. You know, like, you could make a phone call and ask for some help, but
does it kind of feel like you're flying without a parachute now? Like, does that sort of bubble? You know,
you're just trying to guide yourself. You're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like, it's, I don't want to get too insidery, but I feel like, you know, it's a little easier for people to get behind you in the NXT world because you're at the same place every night.
Yeah.
A lot of people see you every night.
Exactly. The same crowd every Tuesday. Every Monday now, it's a whole different crowd. I got to reintroduce myself over and over and over again. So there's going to be a lot of times where I fail doing that, and there's going to be times where I succeed. But it's the game of figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. And, you know, luckily we have people like Paul Heyman to help us out. We have Michael Hayes. So we go to them and we ask them questions and we try to navigate what to do.
I feel like I love having conversations with folks that are like getting this experience for the first time, like the WrestleMania weekend experience. In addition to that, like, you know, there's some people who get in this because they're really good at it. And on top of that, there's other people who get into this that have been fans forever. And you fall into the latter, right?
Yeah.
So you're walking around WWE world. You got the, you know, the entrances over here. You got the memorabilia, the Eddie Guerrero car. I saw you walking out for that over there. Like, how does this entire thing just feel as a performer and, like,
as
a fan on the inside?
Amazing. I'm a lifelong fan. This is all I've ever wanted to do, right? So, man, I wish I was able to come here as a kid because that's a whole different experience, I'm sure. So this brings a kid out in me, and I'm super stoked to even be here and enjoy all of this.
Yeah, when they told me we're gonna get to talk to you, I was like, Zoe Stark, why do I not remember what her background was? I was like, I could have, like, was she an MMA fighter? Was she, like, whatever? And then I started looking, I was like, oh,
no, that's Shayna's background.
No, I know, but I was like, what is the missing piece? But you were just a wrestler. Like, you just wanted to be a wrestler.
That's all I ever wanted to do.
Talk a little bit about how you got from being a fan to landing at the Performance Center.
Man, it was just, when I was a kid, you know, with the VHS, you know, I would, every Monday, I would make sure I get my VHS tape, throw it in, and record it. If I missed one single episode, I was mad. Like, my mom would tell me to sit down, shut up, I'm going to go do what I want to do. You're going to listen to me, right? Yeah. So I would make sure I record that and watch it every Monday. I never missed an episode. This, like, when I say this has been my lifelong dream, I really mean that. You know, so when I was about 18 years old, as soon as I graduated, it's a random state, but I flew to Utah. That's where my mom was living at the time.
Yeah.
And I found this school called UCW Zero. So I just started training there. You know, I knew if I didn't go after this, I would have a lot of regrets in life, and I didn't want that. You know?
So I want to circle back to you being a lifelong fan, because I feel like I relate, right? I've been doing this podcast in some form or fashion with these guys for almost 10 years, but I'm also a lifelong fan. So whenever I meet anybody, I'm thinking to myself, all right, extend your right hand, stand up straight, say, hi, my name is Greg, you know? So what was it like for you, like, being in that locker room and getting to work so closely with Trish, with Lita, with these people that I'm sure, like, you grew up watching and
man, I'm a
fans of?
Like, when I get to meet these people, I get goosebumps and butterflies. And even today, I've been in the, you know, on main roster for about a year now. And when I see legends walk in, I just, like, wide-eyed. I'm like, oh my God, you know, that's The Rock.
Yeah.
somebody I grew up watching, you know what I mean? So I got to remind myself, put myself in check, like, no, I'm a damn wrestler. I belong here. I need to go up and say hi, yeah. You know?
So let's follow up on that, right? Like, being a lifelong fan, and then you coming in, and Trish Stratus and Lita are the people you work with on the main roster. I could only liken that to being like a basketball player and like you get drafted by the Lakers and like LeBron James, you have to like play behind him. But then after a while, it turns off from like, okay, I'm a fan, or into, all right, now we actually have to go and work together, be partners. So what's that first conversation like with Trish Stratus when it comes to, you know, not just her just coming back, but like working and being back in the ring? The conversation that you guys had, where did it come to like her watching you and just feeling like, all right, I understand that she's really good at what she's doing?
Yeah.
Or did she, what was the conversation like between you guys when you first met and you were going to start working together?
I mean, it was more of her just asking me questions and getting to know me, because she wants to make sure, you know, we're about to work with each other. So we got to find that chemistry between the two of us. So I would sit down and ask a lot of questions and, you know, just soak it all up. I'm a sponge, man. I'm a student of the game. I want to ask questions and figure it all out.
But at the same time, she had been gone for a while. So, like, yeah, was there, like, a generational gap of, like, yo, this is what we did when we were coming up during this era?
Sure.
And this is you say, well, we've got some of the greatest women's wrestlers ever right now, so this is how we sort of meet in the middle. Like, what was that conversation like?
It wasn't – we didn't even really have that kind of conversation, because she – understands what the crowd likes and what they don't like, right? So she, it's, yes, there's a generational gap, but I don't really think that matters, because she understands the game. She's still been a part of it for 20 years.
The stuff that worked in the 80s still works today.
Yeah. To a point.
The 90s.
To a point. Right?
All right. Like, all right. That's all right.
We still got to add some flashy stuff into it and stuff like that. But yeah.
The fundamentals, basics.
The basics of it. They're still there. They still work.
There had to be a point, though, where you're working with these legends. Trish and Lita were two of two, right, in that era. Like, they were the absolute cream of the crop. I mean, did you ever see them sit back and watch and say, where did all of this female talent come from? Like, where were you guys when we were in our prime? Because it's such a different world.
But no, I haven't. But I think Trish was just happy to be a part of it for, you know, this generation, and be able to have that amazing match with Becky in the steel cage, you know, her best match yet. It was absolutely amazing. In which, you know, that she proved that she could still hang, man. She could still hang with the best of us.
Yeah.
So I'm still looking for my match, you know, whenever that happens.
You'll get it.
So when you get the call from, I guess, whoever makes that call, that, look, you're going to be working with Trish, and this is what's going to happen, and here's how it's going to go. Who then got the call from you for you to be like, you're not going to believe what they just told me. I'm working with Trish. I'm so excited. What was that like when you got to share that with all your family and friends who I'm sure know how much you love this, how much you've been loving this,
yeah,
and now you get to be on that stage with a legend?
I mean, my first phone call was my husband. So that was my very first one, and we were both so excited because he was in the business for a while too. So he knew the importance of me getting to work alongside Trish and Becky and these girls, you know. So they were so excited. My grandma shed some tears, you know, so it was cool.
So I guess to kind of add it all up, your current tag team partner, Shayna Baszler, you guys have been kicking ass together for a long time. Not for a long time, but you're about to start kicking ass together for a long time.
Going on a couple months. We could call that a long time.
Going on a couple months.
Yeah. When you're getting your ass kicked, 3 minutes or however long it's been, it feels like a long time.
Yeah, exactly, right?
It's a long night any night.
Yeah.
But she had a pretty big weekend as well. She was at Bloodsport with Josh Barnett for GCW. And I think you could have a different perspective on this answer, because I think for the first time in a long time, the WWE universe seems bigger than ever. Like, it's not just in this space, in this bubble, where everything is just WWE, WWE, it feels like now more than ever, the world's expanding. So seeing Shayna go out to do that, did that get your wheels turning? Like, man, like, what's possible? What can I go and do that I haven't gotten a chance to really do yet?
It shows that anything's possible, right? WWE's willing to work with whoever at this point. Jordynne Grace came to the Royal Rumble. Shayna Baszler getting to do GCW. Which, what a crazy ending, huh?
Right, yeah.
Shayna showed why she is a badass.
She did.
people keep sleeping on her, and they need to stop doing that because she's amazing at what she does. So I think after Mania, we're going to see some fun things from Shayna and I, so it'll be fun.
Well, the crowd took exception to some of Shayna's antics, and I know that you were tweeting about it too. What was that?
Yeah, you want to talk about some crybabies? I mean, come on, Philly. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Shayna did an amazing job. It was all fair game. You know, it's not like, what's the problem here? You just didn't like the fact that she took out the hometown hero. That's all it was.
How was that crowd experience, that interaction, different for you than the giant crowds of Monday Night Raw?
It's definitely a lot more personal, you know? I think the Philly crowd likes to get in your face a little bit more, so you got to kind of remind yourself to not do anything. Like, all right, I got to stay. Let me stay back a little bit.
Yeah. You know? Do you like interacting with the crowds, like even on Raw? Like,
love it.
When people start yell at you from the first row, do you like to go after them a little bit?
It's fun, you know? That gives them an experience, right? And it's an experience for me. I love just riffing and just going at it with each other, you know? Shane and I post those videos. Those are... That's Shane and I in real life. That's how we are, you know?
So just piggybacking off of that, do you have a favorite crowd interaction where, like, you're either heckling somebody or they're heckling you or just something that sticks out in your mind as a favorite or most interesting?
Not yet, but I'm sure one will come here pretty soon, you know? Like I said, one guy in Philly did get it a little bit in my face, so that was a little interesting moment, you know, because a little piece of you just kind of... It's taken back, like, oh man, you got a lot of cojones on you, man. Calm down.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Starker's War, right? Like, I see the social media saying the future of Monday Night Raw, the Starker's War logo, Raw's going to Netflix later this year, you know what I mean? It feels like there's been like a shift back from SmackDown being the show that everybody wants to be on as the big show, back to Monday Night Raw being the big show that everybody wants to be on. And with that comes the Women's World Champion, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, in one of the big events this weekend for the Women's World title. I know you're going to have a very keen eye on who comes out of that match.
For sure. Yeah.
But just seeing how they've been able to take a rivalry that I would say went from, okay, mutual respect, to super personal and now elevating what the women's division could be about when it comes to storytelling, when it comes to the action living up to that. How do you expect, as the future of Monday Night Raw, to sort of like help carry that division, right? Like, not everybody has to do the main event, main title storylines to keep the women's division rich. I think middle of the pack stories is what really enriches the division. How do you sort of, take that to what you do when it comes to being on stage?
I mean, we're at a point now where the women's division, we could have personal storylines where it's not always about the title. So that's fun. That leaves a lot of creative freedom to where we could figure it out and see, you know? So it will be very exciting, you know, whoever comes out, whether it's Rhea or Becky with the title, and see what goes from there. But I'm excited to see what happens.
But creatively, though, like, you know, obviously, there's always, like, tears about, like, stories being told.
Sure.
And I would say right now there's a lot of emphasis on, like, stables, tag teams, personal stories, personal rivalries. And I think that's what really makes the division, like, better as a whole. With you and Shayna just being kind of, like, the badasses of the tag team division, just running through people, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you sort of approach it creatively when you're not just these two people that just – are legit badasses, but you learn who we are as people. So what we do matters. The fights actually matter. Like, how do you sort of make sure that you're expressing yourself personally and not just this incredible in-ring talent?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make your personality sort of come through.
I mean, when it comes to, like, the backstages and stuff, that you just got to be yourself and stay true to who you are. That's what I'm really finding out right now. You know, sometimes you get a script and it gives you lines and, you know, it just doesn't feel like me. So then I just kind of, I'll take what they want me to say and make it into my own. And the same thing with Shayna. You know, I'm actually learning a lot from Shayna right now and how to work the backstage segments and making sure that we show a different side of our personality. That's one of the reasons why that we started doing TikTok videos and Instagram. I hate social media. Yeah. It's awful.
It's a necessary evil.
Yeah. Exactly. We have to use it. You know, so we're using that to our benefit to show a different side. Like, hey, yeah, we are badasses, but we like to have fun too. We like to joke around.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
As long as we're pulling back the curtain just a little bit, right here at WrestleMania, there's nonstop stuff going on, but this is probably the longest you've been in one place for, you know, a year, right? I mean, they're just like constantly on the road.
Yeah.
Tell everybody a little bit, like, what's the training regimen? What's the week? Like, what is your weekly travel schedule like? Like, how hard is this life?
It's hard. It's not an easy one.
Yeah.
You know, NXT, you get a little bit spoiled because you get to stay in Orlando and train and, you know, figure out the wrestling part. But when you get to main roster, like I said, it's a whole different ballgame. So I'm gone, depending on if I have live events or not, from about Saturday to Tuesday. So I get about 3 days home. But when it's a week like this with the premium live event, I'm gone for about 10 days. So my diet comes from finding grocery stores like Whole Foods or something where I could grab a chicken breast and rice.
Yeah.
You know, and then as far as the gym goes, you just got to find the time. It's where your priorities lie. I could either relax at the hotel and watch TV when I have my free time, or I could get up and go work, which is what I do.
Yeah.
You know, so you just got to pick and choose what you want to do. There's always time to do your fitness and wrestle and things like that.
Yeah, it's a choice.
So this next question is going to sound a little familiar to longtime listeners. I'm stealing it from Shoemaker. Years ago, he asked Braun Strowman what his Chipotle order was. And it was like quadruple meat, brown rice, fajita veggies. It was insane. And now I'm going to throw that same question to you, because I'm sure with being on the road, Chipotle might be an easy hack to try and find what you need. So what is your go-to Chipotle order?
I mean, compared to Braun, it's boring. You know, like Braun for me would be like a three-day meal course. You know what I mean? So for me, it's just the rice, the veggies, and chicken. Sometimes I'll splurge with getting some steak, but that's it. Like just the normal serving size. If anything, I ask for a little bit of extra protein, but nothing crazy, you know?
Right. You spoke just a few minutes ago about sometimes you get a script and you see it and you're like, all right, this isn't really something I would say, but like, let me see if I can make it sort of my own and sort of work it in. Do you feel like in recent, you know, the recent, I would say, creative overhaul in WWE, do you feel like more freedom to kind of like go out and not just, you know, add to what you like on the script, but also kind of, I don't want to say go into business for yourself, but like do what you can outside of the ring to bring more attention, you know what I mean? It feels like it's a lot less restrictive lately. Things don't feel as like by the books as like even if you're watching the show, there's different camera angles, there's different conversations, there's a lot more cussing, like everything just feels creatively just different.
It feels more freeing.
Okay.
You know, like you're able to, I don't want to say do what you want more, because you still can't do what you want, right. you still got to follow the
There's still outlets, guidelines. Yeah.
But when I get a script, I don't have to say it word for word. I could riff a little bit as long as I'm hitting the points.
Did you feel like, you know, in the beginning of your main roster run that there was like that pressure to be like, I got to hit it like this.
Yes.
I got to be like this. Does that
For sure. Okay. No, yeah. Like, it was very hard for me to wear. I was like, okay, I got to say this line exactly, you know, and that's hard. And that could be really hard to remember sometimes, especially when you have the one shot and you have to do it live. Can't screw it up, you know.
So I'm fortunate enough to have been able to interview a lot of my idols through over the years. I'm a mark just like you. And when I talked to some of the guys who were really, who, like, were hitting in the Attitude Era. Oh, sorry. The ones who were, the guys from the Attitude Era, the ones who'd been around a long time, were able to realize how things had changed. The younger folks were just like, no, this is normal, when everything was popping
sure,
off.
Yeah.
Are you able, I mean, you're here on the main roster. The company's been going up and up and up. It seems like things have been getting bigger and bigger. Are you able to keep perspective and realize like how big of a deal, like how much, like how popular wrestling feels right now?
I mean, yeah, wrestling has been the biggest it has been in a long time. So it's crazy to see all the fans and just looking around. Like, I'm sure this is a slow day because it's Mania, right?
Resting up.
It's the first night of WrestleMania.
And there's still thousands of people here.
Yeah. Right? Like, it's crazy. And even just like when I would go get a cup of coffee, the girl that was serving it to me, she was talking about how big our audience is and how it's so mind-blowing. So sometimes we forget that. Then we go to a city and somebody reminds us of it. It's crazy. You know, we're all blessed to be here.
So speaking about the growth of the company, and Kaz mentioned earlier that, you know, there are tiers and levels and not everybody can be at the top and occupy that world championship spot. A lot of the fans have been pushing for a women's intercontinental title or like a women's United States title. Is that something that you think should be a part of the growth of the company? Not just a global expansion, but an expansion in terms of opportunities for specifically the women on the roster?
Yeah. Our women's division right now is big, right? Like, it's the biggest it's ever been. So to add on another title gives us a lot more opportunities, I feel. So it just adds another layer to the women's division that would be a lot of fun for all of us, you know? We have the Women's World Championship, and then SmackDown has the Women's Championship, and then the tag titles. So I feel like...
One set of tag titles, too, because NXT lost theirs.
Exactly. They were unified at that point. So it would be a lot of fun to add in that U.S. title for the women's or the intercontinental title for the women's. I think it would be well worth it.
You know, Zoe, maybe this time 2 years ago, when anybody in the main roster was saying, who in NXT do you have your eye on coming out? They'd all say Zoe Stark, Zoe Stark, Zoe Stark. In a couple of hours down at the Wells Fargo Center, NXT Stand and Deliver will be taking place. There's some incredible women performing there tonight. So I'm going to ask you the same question that was asked about you several years ago.
Yeah.
Are there any women in the NXT roster right now that you say is going to have, when they get to the main roster, look out. They're going to be one to watch.
There's a couple of them, right? And there's been a couple where I was blessed to work with. So I know their talent. Like Lyra. Yeah. Great talent, you know? We have her or Fallon or even Lashes. Lashes has grown so much. And I see so much potential in her. And I'm excited to see where her future goes.
I mean, on a weekend like this, you get to see a lot, interact with a lot of the people from NXT, I'm sure. I mean, everybody's together. Do you have advice? Do they ask you for advice about what the next couple years their careers are going to look like? Or what would you tell an NXT star who is like looking for advice on what life is going to be like on the main roster?
I mean, they do ask, like, as far as travel goes and the transition. Because that's the hardest part, is the transition from NXT to SmackDown or Raw.
Right.
So it's just taking it day by day at that point and keeping your ears open, your mouth shut. Let's just watch what's going on, assess the situation, what am I doing, be polite, you know, and just take it day by day. That's all you can do. And be your very best every time you step out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you had the unique opportunity this weekend to go into an indie wrestling locker room, I'm sure, and be around those people too. So were there any of the people on the indies that you saw at GCW that you said, all right, I want to tear it up with that person one day, or or was there anybody in that locker room that asked you advice? So what was that experience like from the side that the fans didn't get to see? Because all we saw was Shayna whooping ass,
yep,
you cheering her on.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm asking, what else happened behind the scenes with that in terms of like you coming in as a veteran? I'm not sure if you see yourself like that or if you thought about it like that, but I mean, you're on Monday Night Raw, so you really stepped into their locker room as a top.
I don't know about a veteran, but I'll take it right now. It's been such a long time being back around the indies, because that's where it all started for me. I was an indie wrestler. I traveled and I worked for maybe $10, a lot of times a hot dog and a handshake, you know? So it brought back a lot of memories just going through that. And then it reminds me, it's like, oh man, I am so blessed and lucky to be where I'm at today. So everyone backstage was amazing. They, you know, there were a lot of familiar faces. But as far as the girls that I were kind of looking at, Lindsay is great. I'm sorry, I don't remember her last name. But Lindsay, or the girl that Shannon wrestled,
Masha.
Yeah. She did an amazing job. She showed out. If there was a match to show out on, that was the match. Because we know Nick Khan showed up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you never know who's watching you now. Hunter just came out saying he knows who everyone is. Keeping an eye on everyone to see where people are at and how well they're doing. Can't just say you're good anymore. You have to prove it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a fun time. It's exciting.
I think to the casual eye, when people see you, see Shayna together, you seem very serious. You seem very much like the people who just, we go kick ass and take names, da 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 da. But I know everybody's a practical joker. I know everybody cracks jokes. I know everybody likes to have fun. Between the two of you guys, who's the bigger ball buster between you and Shayna?
Me.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Okay.
Shayna's I called her the grumpy old lady at this point. She's a grizzled veteran.
Yeah.
And I just love to bust her balls about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun busting her balls. We go back and forth all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So is it more like practical jokes? Is it more like, I don't know, your mama jokes to people? Like, what? How do y'all pass the time going from town to town, cracking jokes?
We joke around a lot about our weaknesses.
Okay, well, like, give me an example. Yeah. Like, what's that?
Oh man, I can't tell you that.
Is that too much? Is that too much?
Well, let me ask you this then.
Okay.
April Fool's Day just passed. How did you commemorate the holiday with Shayna?
Man, I forgot it was April Fool's.
Me too.
But
the world's so crazy for April Fool's Day, right?
Yeah. It's April Fool's to us.
Everything's a joke.
Oh, well, thank you so much for doing this. We got to let you go. It's time to wrap this up. If you want to yell at any of the fans in the front after we get done, feel free. That's what they all signed up for. But Zoe Stark, thank you so much for doing the Ringer Wrestling Show. Thank you for coming out on WrestleMania weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And enjoy your first WrestleMania weekend. Oh,
thank
guys.
Thank you.
Make some noise for Zoe Stark, y'all. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and, like, sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out Scott Gagre.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.